Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This great cloud of witnesses mentioned by this Hebrew writer in verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, refers to those individuals that he has mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. These were individuals who lived by faith in God. They committed their souls to the keeping of God. They lived in obedience to the rule and the will of God. They walked and lived by faith. They made sacrifices. They endured affliction. They suffered wrong, and many of them had to face death because of the faith that they possessed in Jesus Christ and in the Lord God. The writer of the Hebrew letter wants these to whom he has written this epistle to take note of them. He wants them to be aware of their life, the sacrifice that they made, and the reason for that sacrifice. He wants them to have the same degree of faith that these ancient people had. He wants them to live and walk by this divine rule that God has given. And so he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is often considered as a race. The Apostle Paul in Hebrews, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24, said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the call of God to be an apostle, has written to the church at Corinth, he compares the life that they are living in the Christian faith to be a race. He looks at a physical race and notes that they who run have run with temperance, they have run with patience, they have striven so that they might obtain the crown that is at the end of the race. The apostle refers to this crown as a corruptible crown. Oftentimes, the physical things of life are referred to in Scripture as corruptible. This means that they do not last. They do not endure. They fade. They wither. They lose luster. They lose value. The race of the Christian is that he might obtain an incorruptible crown. This is a crown that endures throughout all eternity. This is the grand prize that God has offered to those who will faithfully run the Christian race and live the Christian life. Paul says that he runs in this race with certainty. He is assured that if he runs faithfully unto the end, that he will obtain the prize. And so he wants the church at Corinth to consider the race that they are running, the life that they are living, the prize that is before them, and the value of that prize which they hope to obtain. Paul says that he must keep his body, he must guard himself, he must continue a life of temperance and sacrifice and faith, so that he does not become a castaway. he must not lose sight of the prize that is before him. In running the race, I wish for us to consider the prize. There is a prize in running the Christian race. There is a prize that God has offered for living the Christian life. There is a reward at the end of life, of which we have the assurance of God. Hebrews 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth." These were people of faith. They had not received the promises. We have not received the promises, but we have seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. And as a result, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. They were not citizens of this world, but rather they had chosen to be citizens of the heavenly world. As we consider the heavenly prize that is before us, life eternal, home with God, everlasting bliss in heaven, we must see that promise of God. We must be persuaded of that promise. We must embrace that promise, and we must detach ourselves from the affairs of this world and live the life that God has called upon us to live, following the directive that is given in the Bible. At Hebrews 12 and verse 28, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Those who consider the prize and the reward that God offers will serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We can depend upon the promises of God. We can be assured with the conviction of our whole heart that what God has promised, God will deliver. This was the guideline by which these great cloud of witnesses lived their life, and the commitment that they had made to God. The world was not their home, but rather heaven was the land for which they sought. Hebrews 4, verse 11 exhorts us, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief." The writer refers back to those in Hebrews chapter 3, those in the wilderness who had not obeyed God. They had murmured against God, complained against God, disobeyed God, disregarded the law of God. And as a result, they were slain. They died in the wilderness. They did not live to enjoy the promised land of Canaan because of their sin and their infidelity. They did not labor to enter into that promised land of rest. We must labor for the land of rest that God has promised. We must labor in His service because we have considered the prize, the value of the prize. We have given due consideration to what God has promised, and we are willing to make any and all sacrifice that we might obtain that heavenly rest. But in a race, there are always obstacles. In living the Christian life, there are obstacles. The writer says, in verse 1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Satan desires to deter us from obtaining this prize. Satan saw the comfort and the joy that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. He came into that garden and disrupted them. He destroyed their peace and their relationship with God by enticing them to sin. They listened to his enticement. They gave in to his allurement, and as a result, they were cast out of the garden. Those Israelites who had been promised the land of rest were not faithful to God, and as a result, because they did not lay aside their sin and the weight of life, they could not enter into that land. We must realize that there is the obstacle of sin before us. There is the temptation of Satan. There is the desire sometimes to enjoy the pleasures of this life and turn ourselves away from God. We must be willing to overcome this obstacle. Remember the Apostle Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, said that he must bring his body into subjection, lest after he had preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. Paul was not isolated from the temptations of Satan. No one is. Satan comes to all of us. Satan desires to turn our attention away from the heavenly home, from the eternal promise that God has made. Satan wants us to understand that what we can have right now in this present world is a far greater value than that which we can have in the eternal world. Sometimes we want what we can have now rather than what we can have later. Sometimes we are unwilling to sacrifice the present moment for the moment that has not yet arrived. This kind of attitude will interfere with our running the race. Hebrews 3:12-13, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice this phrase, the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceptive. The devil told Eve that she would become as God, that she would be wise as God. But that was a lie. That was a deceit. God had said, "In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die." Eve believed what the devil said rather than what God said. And as a result, she sinned, and Adam as well. And they were cast forth from the garden. An evil heart of unbelief will cause us to depart from the living God. We can turn away from God. Our heart can deceive us so that we refuse to listen to God and refuse to obey the will of God and follow the way of God. We must exhort one another daily while it is called today. The present opportunity is all important. For the present moment is all that we have, all that we are promised. What we are going to do, we must do now. We must devote ourselves to God while we live now, while we have the present opportunity. Paul says, or the writer of the Hebrew letter says, rather, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Our heart can be hardened so that we do not hear God, we do not listen to God, we do not give heed to God, we do not pay attention to God, and as a result, our heart is turned away from God, and we lose sight of the prize that is before us, and we forfeit the promise that God has made. Hebrews 4:1-2, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." There must be a fear of God. There must be a respect and a reverence for God. Remember the passage that we read a moment ago, Hebrews 12:28. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." To serve God acceptably, there must be a reverence for God. We must understand who God is. God is the authority. God is the one who has given the law. We must obey God. We must be willing to do as God has commanded us to do. We must be willing to follow God and obey His instructions. We see the blessings that have come to the people of God who have obeyed Him and who have served Him faithfully. We see the consequences of those who have not served him faithfully, those who have not lived up to his standard, those who have not listened to him as he has commanded them to listen. The Old Testament is a book of record. It shows the blessings that come to those who serve God with fear and reverence, and it shows the consequences of those who do not listen to God and who do not fear Him. Remember when Solomon examined the issues of life in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he came to the conclusion of the matter. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is what we must do in our relationship with God. We must fear Him so that the promise left of entering into His rest should be taken from us. We can come short of it. We can almost achieve it, but not quite. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with the young ruler in Luke chapter 19, or Matthew chapter 19, rather. He said, "One thing thou lackest." This young man was almost there, but not quite. Remember the words of Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, when Paul had preached the gospel to him. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But almost is not altogether. We sing a song, "Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost." It is possible that we come short of the prize that is before us. It is possible that we almost achieve eternal life, but not quite. And so we must fear. The writer says the gospel was preached unto these ancient people. The gospel has been preached unto us, but the word preached did not profit them. Listening to the gospel does not always profit us. There must be a mixture of faith. When we hear the gospel, we must believe the gospel. When we hear the word of God, we must believe the word of God. We must do what God teaches us to do. We must have enough respect for God and for His word that we are willing to obey that which He commands us, lest we come short of the prize that is before us. The obstacle that we face in running this race is sin. The obstacle that we face in running this race is a lack of faith. We may not believe what God has said. Hebrews 6:11-12, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Slothfulness is an obstacle. We can become lazy in our Christian work. We can become indifferent to the commandments that God has given unto us. We can become comfortable in our Christian relationship with God. We must show diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. There must be a complete assurance in our heart of the promise that God has made. There must not be any lack of faith in the word that God has delivered, in the promise that He has made, in the hope that we possess. We must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we see Abel. We see Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joshua, and all of the others that are mentioned in this great chapter whose lives are recorded in the pages of the Old Testament, who had constant faith in God, who had a continual assurance of the promise that he has made. They were able with patience to overcome the obstacles that were before them. We must overcome the deceitfulness of sin. We must overcome unbelief in our heart. We must overcome slothfulness or laziness. These are the obstacles that can interfere in our running the race. And as we run the race, we must consider Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus is our example of fulfilling the will of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the source of our salvation. Jesus is the one who delivers unto us eternal redemption so that we might obtain the eternal reward that God has promised. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith because with joy he endured the cross. Think about the death of the cross. Think about the horrible pain that Jesus suffered. Think about the blasphemy that was heaped upon him. Think about the scorn that the crowd brought to him. Think about the rejection of the human heart that Christ had come to save and redeem. He endured the cross. When we endure something, we do that without any great joy or peace. It is very difficult. It is hard for us to endure. But we must endure even as Jesus endured the cross, and he despised the shame. The multitude cursed him. The multitude railed upon him. And yet, Jesus, looking down upon his accusers from the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now Jesus has been set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our Savior. He is our mediator. Through him we have life. Through him we have hope and peace and reconciliation with God. Consider Jesus. Again in verse 3, he says, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." They refused to believe that he was the Christ. They denied that he was the Messiah. They railed upon him and cursed him. Sinners blasphemed the holy name of Jesus, and he endured all of that so that he might be the author and finisher of our faith, and so that through him we could obtain the prize that is before us. The apostle said we need to consider Jesus so that we are not wearied and so that we do not faint. Hebrews 7, 24 through 27. "But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Jesus has overcome death. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Unlike the priest of the Old Testament who had to be replaced because of death, Jesus has overcome death. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." Jesus became our high priest when he offered up himself. Jesus needs to be considered as our high priest because he lives to make intercession for us. He is our mediator between God the Father and our human heart. Jesus must be considered because he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he has been made higher than the heavens. He has been exalted, wherefore God has placed him at his own right hand and has set him upon the throne of David, where he rules over his kingdom, the church. He offered up a sacrifice not for his sins, but for our sins. In running the race, we need to focus upon Jesus. We need to look upon Jesus. We need to consider who Jesus was, where Jesus is, and the authority that now Jesus has. Hebrews 3:1-2, wherefore, holy brethren, we are holy brethren, because Jesus with his blood has redeemed us. Partakers of the heavenly calling. We have been able to partake of the heavenly calling because God in his love and grace has made certain that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. Our ears have heard it. Our hearts have believed it. Our souls have accepted it. We live in obedience unto it. And therefore we are holy brethren, and we have been made partaker of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. In our daily life, we need to consider Jesus Christ. We need to think of him as he was willing to leave the heavenly portal, the abode with God. He was willing to give up that heavenly fellowship with the Father and come to earth. He was scorned, he was ridiculed, he was blasphemed, he was rejected, he was crucified, and yet he offered himself so that we might be redeemed and so that the promised prize of eternal life might ever be before us. He was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. When we look at the life of Moses, we see a life of faithfulness. We see God's call. We see Moses accept that call. We see Moses lead this stubborn people toward the land of promise. Jesus Christ was faithful to him that appointed him. God appointed him to come to the earth and die the death of the cross so that we might be redeemed and be the heirs of eternal life. Hebrews 5:2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Jesus had infirmity through the rejection of the people and through the death of the cross, and he can have compassion upon us. We must consider Jesus, and with patience we must run this race. With endurance, we must run this race. We must overcome every obstacle that is in our way so that we might obtain the prize. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. God has made the promise, and if we, in faithful service, obey the commandments of God and live a life following the example of Jesus Christ, we shall receive the promise. We must not be weary, and we must not faint. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God has promised, and his promises endure. God cannot lie. He does not lie. God does what he says he will do if we are faithful to him. We must hold fast the profession of our faith, for Satan seeks to snatch it from us. The difficulties of life may cause us to lose our grip upon the promise that is before us. Our faith must endure. Our faith must overcome. We must continue in our faith and in our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and not become weary Oh, the road walked upon the earth becomes sometimes a weary road. It sometimes becomes a difficult road because there are problems, there are difficulties, there are sorrows, and there are temptations. But we must endure, we must continue. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Our confidence in God, who has promised us life eternal, who has set before us an eternal prize. We must not cast that away. Continue toward the prize. Continue in faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before us, in our future, is the eternal reward that God has promised. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.